Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
It's good to be back here again with you on the Sunday
evening.
Always
good on Sunday nights. We did a kind of a cool series on discipleship, and I was all revved up about it. And last week, I thought I was going to get to some scriptures that we never got to.
Yeah, but last week's show went by really fast.
It was really fast. You would think after a year and a half, we'd be used to doing the half-hour shows, but it still takes me by surprise. Yeah, I think it's been a year and a half. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about being a remnant and about discipleship, and the question is, you know, how did we get to this point? I mean, there's so many reasons. There's the influence of the world. There's the influence of the demonic kingdom. There's distraction because of people's jobs and stress levels and, you know, the kids having to go to soccer on Sunday morning and, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they all may be related and they may not all be related, but you see, as we talked about in the book of Revelation, where it says Satan knows his time is short, he gets aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, this week I was, I watched a YouTube video that was made by a Catholic priest who was involved in doing exorcisms. And he made an observation that when they do exorcisms now,
mm-hmm.
the demons that are involved are much more aggressive and persistent than they were years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he interviewed this older guy who did exorcism prayers like in the 50s and the 60s. And it said, like, once they got the word that somebody needed a demon exorcised, they just kind of went and did it. And it took, you know, sometimes it took a few minutes and sometimes it took a few hours, but it rarely took very long.
Yeah.
And this guy says, now you're there for hours and days and weeks and they got more aggressive demons. And I thought, man,
yeah,
that's really following with how the culture is going.
Yeah.
You know, Paul calls Satan the prince of the power of the air.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when Paul wrote that, there was no, you know, quote, airways, unquote, that we know about. There was no radio, no TV, no internet. And, my, look at how, you know, my wife always maintains that the internet is the Antichrist. And, you know, all these things that go through the power of the air now,
mm-hmm.
Satan has been able to use, obviously, for his benefits. And it's been wearing away at churches. It's been wearing away at how people think about the truth. It's been bringing on the moral relativism. It's been bringing on the, well, I don't know. Is that really important? Oh, I don't know. Is that what it really meant? You know, kind of like when Eve says, well, you know, maybe that's why he doesn't want us. You know, is that really what he meant? You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
And this has been going and it's now gotten through, I hate to say, and I don't want to insult any of your denominations, so I won't mention any, but it's gotten through most of the denominations now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a weakening. There's a diluting. There's a, well, we better not say anything because if we hurt people's feelings, they won't come back. If we hurt people's feelings, they're going to stop giving money. If we hurt people, well, we shouldn't be hurting people's feelings anyway because
mm-hmm.
we want everybody to be happy. We want everybody to come here and have a nice time.
Right.
And we want to have some nice music. We want to have a feel-good message. You know, kind of a little self-help, positive thinking kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And once in a while, we'll have a talk about marriage or parenting or real estate investing or something just to keep everybody happy.
Blood pressure screening.
And, you know, and it's just crazy what's going on in churches.
Well, I was going to say the whole moral fiber of our culture, even those of us who may think we're spiritually, you know, morally spiritual, mm-hmm. superior, mm-hmm. you can't think that way.
No.
It's dangerous.
Very dangerous.
But our whole moral fabric has been eroded to the place that we no longer blush before God. Because of all the stuff that we've been desensitized to.
Yes.
And it's been a gradual approach from over the last 40 or 50 years.
Yes.
I was talking to a young person about a month ago. And they were pretty well in tune with what's going on spiritually in the world and, you know, just this struggle between light and darkness, truth versus error.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I told them that, you know, if you look back maybe 40 years ago, how some of this started was tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be kind and accepting of other people and other beliefs. And well, the church has always taught that you love the person, but you don't love the sin.
Right.
Okay. But now, if I don't love the person and the sin that they're immersed in, I'm intolerant.
Right.
And the very God that I believe in is now under question. And what has happened is there's been a great Trojan horse that has been brought into this country under the guise of tolerance by the devil. And that Trojan horse is in our midst.
Yes.
And now it's blooming before us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing all this stuff.
Oh, yes. And in the name of tolerance, we're not even allowed to respond.
Yes. So the freedom of speech that we hold dear in our republic is even under attack,
mm-hmm.
is under assault. And yet people can't seem to discern the light from the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who to vote for. Does it really matter?
Yeah.
You better believe it matters.
Yeah. Yeah.
God is a God of righteousness. He told Israel, I'm your God. I will be your God. We want a king like every other nation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that happens, it's not going to go well for you.
We want to be just like everybody else.
We don't want to be just like everybody else. I'll be your God.
Yeah.
And I'll provide for you. Your shoes are never going to wear out. Your clothing's mm-hmm. never going to wear out. I'm going to provide for you richly.
Mm-hmm.
Now we want a king like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Here's what's going to happen. And it came to pass.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Where are we at in our country? Do we really want the King of Kings as our Messiah, as our leader, or do we want some failed politician?
Yeah.
Or some failed human being? I mean, we live in a physical world. We have to, you know, there's people that are leaders. But they have to be righteous men and women who fear God.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause if they don't, we have what we have.
Yes. Well, and the church, you know, everything in the scripture applies to every time in history.
Mm-hmm.
At this time in history, the church is basically saying, we want to be like everybody else.
Exactly.
People want to get divorced. That's great. We're all for that.
Yeah.
We may not call it divorce, but you know, that's fine. If you're not getting along, yeah, that's fine. Or, you know, well, we better not say anything about this because most people, you know, want to do that. Or,
yeah.
You know, who are we to judge about this or what? Well, who are you to judge? You have the scriptures. You have 2,000 years of Christian tradition. You have 4,000 years of Judeo-Christian
right.
tradition. You have plenty of room to judge. Because God reveals himself in the scripture,
mm-hmm.
reveals himself through Christian teaching, and tells you what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
And for huge issues like marriage and abortion and these gender issues and, you know, like I tell people, I'm so old fashioned, I think there's two genders. You know, now there's like 50 some. And, you know,
yeah, there's only two.
Yeah. Yeah. there's only two. And so the issue is, the darkness that has settled has made people be fools that profess themselves to be wise,
mm-hmm.
as Paul, my hero, writes in the book of
yeah.
Romans. Because God gives you over to your reprobate heart.
Yes.
You want to believe all that stuff? You want to do whatever you want? Go ahead.
Yeah.
But I'm stepping back.
You know, when people wonder, where is all the
yeah,
violence and
exactly.
hatred coming in from our culture?
Yeah.
As if it's just happened now.
Right.
you have to go back and look at all of the violence and all of this stuff that has been permeated in our culture through television, through media, movies. There's a lot of, there's a lot, and it's not just, it is a spiritual battle that we're facing.
No discipline in the house, no discipline in the school, no father present in the house,
and
the government taking the place of a wage-earning parent.
Right. So as I was saying about, you know, elected officials, it's not just a political thing. It's a morally, it's a foundational morally, a moral principle of humanity.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if it's a political system, if it's the church, if it's, it's permeated to the point throughout our culture in all institutions, in every facet of life. And we as Christians need to be aware of this and need to understand this if we're going to follow God and fight for right, or, you know, just stand for righteousness.
Yeah.
And in the truth of the gospel, we have to be willing to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
In season and out of season. Here's the truth. This is what I proclaim to you.
That's right. And the, you know, I guess you could call it the clergy, but the religious leaders of our time, for not all of them, but for the most part, are encouraging this false tolerance, because tolerance in itself is not evil, but the tolerance of anything goes, if we can't say anything, is not good. But it's the, you have to accept everything. You have to accept everything as normal. It doesn't matter what it is. So you can be upset if something happens to one child, but if you want to kill 53 million children by abortion, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
And, I mean, we pretty much covered that last time.
Yeah.
But the, it's made the path of discipleship so much worse when the people that are supposed to be shepherding you along are either not doing it or are doing it incorrectly.
Yeah.
Because if you preach the health and wealth gospel, you're leading people down a different trail than if you preach, you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow me. Son of man has no place to lie his head.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take you where you don't want to go.
Yeah.
And then you're going to see, this is how you're going to serve me.
Right.
Nobody wants to hear that. Everybody wants to hear the, I get the Mercedes, I get the big house, I get the nice job. And
the happy doctrine.
The happy doctrine.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, I can't remember where it is in scripture, but you know, sin gives pleasure for a season. Mm-hmm. Like every sin is pleasurable. That's why we do it.
That's right. Yeah, that's why we do it.
You know, I mean, if you steal something from somebody, you say, oh, I got this now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a while, it's like, hey, I got this now. I don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Then later you might think, oh, I can't believe I took this from that guy. but sin gives pleasure for a season.
Exactly.
If you're doing something in the darkness that's then found out when the light goes on, then all of a sudden it's not pleasurable anymore.
Yeah, then you want to hide it.
Then you want to hide it.
Then you do all kinds of things to cover it up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And John, St. John, the youngest apostle, was a son of thunder, but then he became pretty awesome. And as we said last time, you have to keep in mind that he wrote a gospel in three letters. Do you want to find 1 John chapter 2, and his letters are so short too. You know, if you do them at your Bible study, you can do them real quick.
Not like
as opposed to Isaiah.
I was going to say
3 years on 1 John chapter 2. Read verse 18 and 19 if you have that handy.
I do. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that the Antichrist was coming, so now many Antichrists have appeared. Thus we know this is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of our number. And they had been. If they had been, they would have remained with us. Their desertion shows that none of them was of our number.
Yeah. So we know an Antichrist with a capital A is coming, if you have your Bible in front of you. At least in my translation, it's capitalized. So we know that at some point there's going to be the Antichrist. But he says, now many Antichrists have come. Okay, now he thought it was the last hour, but of course the end time started when Jesus came. So Mm-hmm. We can cut up some slack on that. But what I wanted to get to was that next part. They went out from us. In other words, false teachers came from within the body.
Mm-hmm.
False teachers came from within the group that at one time was organized in a way that they were all believing the truth and preaching the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, false teachers have gone out from us.
Yeah.
John warns about this. Paul warns about it all the time. Jesus warns about it.
Right.
That there's going to be false teachers that are going to come in. You know, as soon as Paul left a town, you know, some false teacher went in and said, oh, I know Paul was just here, but, you know, he's like a little overboard on some of this stuff. Let me tell you. And then people said, well, I don't know. Who do we believe? Paul was just here. Now, this guy, well, this guy's giving me an easier truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much easier truth to be tolerant of everything.
Yeah.
If I believe there's 50 genders, then whew, at least I fit in with everybody at the place where I work. If I tell them that there's two genders, or when the CEO of a place that I hold near and dear to my heart says, if you believe in traditional marriage, don't patronize our stores, it kills me because now I'm not going to patronize their stores. But if I said, oh, hey, I don't care. I don't care what kind of marriage he believes in. I just want to go to the store.
Yeah.
So I'll believe whatever he believes. These are people that have surrendered any principle that they had, any foundation that they had, any foundation that was on the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And they've gone out from the church, so to speak, and have been influenced by these things around them.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that now when you have a group of pastors praying at an abortion clinic. Or when you have a president of the United States talking to Planned Parenthood and at the end of the speech saying, God bless your work and God bless America. Well, number one, God is not going to bless their work. Number two is God is not going to bless America unless we conform to what he wants us to be.
Mm-hmm.
In our rebellion, he's not going to bless that.
Yeah.
So the fact that somebody would say that, or the fact that some clergy people would condone that and actually promote that, shows a total disconnect from the scripture.
Yeah, I mean, there's, there's a total disconnect of what is actually taking place in those clinics.
Mm-hmm.
There are some medical procedures that are taking place in those clinics, but the procedure of abortion is a sin on this country and around the world that God is not pleased with.
Yes.
God does not rejoice, and I've said it before, he does not rejoice in the destruction of his creation.
That's right.
And every life is a gift from God. But in the heart, in our hearts now, in men and women, in our culture, pride has really set in because they boast about what they're doing.
Yes.
They applaud what they're doing.
Yes.
They lit up the Freedom Tower.
Yes.
For the abortion bill.
Yes.
In New York City.
Dancing in the street.
To kill innocent children at the moment of birth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And the people applauded this.
Yes.
I mean, as a country, we really need to ask ourselves, where are we at here?
Mm-hmm.
Are we so morally decayed that we have just let go of everything?
Mm-hmm.
Because once that takes place, I mean, you got to try and stem the tide and turn it back because your whole fabric of your culture is going to be destroyed.
Well, we saw the same thing in Ireland. And when I saw this happen, I, of course, thought of an Old Testament passage because I think about Old Testament passages a lot. But a few years ago, you know, as you know, Ireland has been such a strong, traditionally Catholic country.
Mm-hmm.
It was only a few years ago that they allowed divorce.
Yeah.
Now they have unlimited abortion, you know, late term abortion and everything else. And when all those laws were passed, the prime minister, and this also happened in Greece, where the prime minister stood out in a public platform and said, well, we're not going to be under the yoke of the churches anymore. We're going to do what we want. And there were literally bands playing, people dancing in the street. And it immediately reminded me of when the people made the golden calf. They were partying mm-hmm. and playing music and they were singing. And, you know, God says to Moses, you better go back down there because your people have become depraved. Yeah. And here's these people that I'm sure that, you know, Sunday morning, a big percentage of them are going to church. And I guess it's good that they go. But if the following day they're dancing in the street because now they have abortion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a total disconnect of what's in the scripture.
Yeah.
And these are teachers, and they're not necessarily teachers, but these are people that went out from a church that they originally believed and now mm-hmm. believe something totally different.
Yeah.
And John says, St. John writes, this is the spirit of Antichrist.
Yeah.
That's in the world.
Yeah. I mean, sound teaching is being rejected.
Yes.
Sound teaching is being rejected. There are men and women who preach the gospel in all of its truth. But there are many who are preaching a false gospel. And they're letting, you know, they're really leading people astray. And, you know, to sit back and go, well, you know, that's not me, you know, that's them. Well, that affects the whole body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole body is not just one member. It's all members.
Yes.
And when one sins, it affects the whole body.
This is why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians that a little bit of leaven spoils the whole loaf.
Exactly.
And this, you know, is... leaven in the Old Testament always represents sin. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, don't have the leaven of the Pharisees.
Right.
They look good and they sound good, but actually they're not good.
Right.
Don't have their leaven. Paul says, if you make a big thing of dough, even if you put a little bit of yeast in it, the whole thing is spoiled because it's going to rise.
Yeah.
And so a little bit of sin here and a little bit of sin there and a little bit of we'll tolerate this and a little bit of we'll tolerate that. And then pretty soon you have whole denominations of people, like the worldwide Anglican Church. I'm not sure if it was under the banner Anglican or Episcopal because I'm not sure who was all involved. Recently had a world conference where they said, we're not using male pronouns for God anymore because it's sexist. Now, this is totally gone amok.
Jesus, is that a man idea or is that a God idea?
Yes. There was a, one of the Bible studies I teach, there was a man who came one night and he only came once because he said, well, you know, God is spirit. He doesn't have a gender. Said, that's true. But he's a male principle. And Jesus, the Savior, was a man. Jesus of Nazareth was, in fact, a man. And he goes, yes, but at the second coming, I think God is going to send his daughter. And I said, now, who would that be? Well, I don't know, but he's going to send a woman next time. And I said, no, he's not going to send a woman. Jesus is coming back, and we're going to know that he's Jesus of Nazareth. And he's still... So he didn't come back to the Bible study anymore.
I mean, but even that is so deluded in thinking
exactly.
You don't even understand. They're not even understanding what scripture.
But this is the spirit of what's going on.
Yeah.
So if we're not going to use male pronouns anymore, and I had a colleague once who said, "Well, one thing about the Holy Spirit is you never know what she's going to do," and I said, "Excuse me," and then she repeated it. I said, "Holy Spirit is not a she." Oh, but he's not a he either. I go, well, but he's a male principle. If you think about God is father and son, and he's mm-hmm. it's a male. But now everything is acceptable.
Yeah.
So you can put a female image on a cross and say, well, you know, here's the crucifix. I mean, if you want, you might as well put a female figure on it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the nonsense that's coming, but this is the spirit of Antichrist.
It's the confusion that the devil sets forth.
Yes. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I only got through one of my scriptures. Well, anyway, I hope you had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you to enlighten our hearts and our minds to the truth that is of God, and not the false light that is of Satan. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gilliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.